your noontime check-in with today's business world and more. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN. Here's Steve Bertrand.
720 WGN. It's Amy Guth in for Steve Bertrand. I'm not Steve Bertrand at all, but he will be back with you next week. I'm here with you today, Thursday and Friday, and we have plenty to do on the show today. We're going to be talking with Sarah Spain, columnist at ESPN and radio host, about a project that she is doing to help young people. And we're going to be talking about women in the workplace and how we can sort out some stuff there. But before we do that, we have our regular guest and good friend, Terry Savage, joining us by phone to talk about all things money. Terry, hello. Thanks for being with us today.
Hi, Amy. Glad to be with you on a day when nobody's doing anything. The market's just like holding its breath after yesterday.
Right, right. Well, there's a lot to talk about yesterday. In particular, I would love to talk with you about Jerome Powell. We have this new chairman of the Federal Reserve who immediately, there was a lot of conversation as soon as his name came into the mix for him to replace Janet Yellen as the leader of that. And he spoke yesterday and talked about with a great deal of optimism. So take us through that a bit.
Yeah, well, actually, I've known him over a couple of years, and I told Steve last week that I watched the congressional testimony of the Fed chairman the way other people watch, Real Housewives of whatever it is, because I'm always fascinated at how the Fed chairman will deal with the politics and, of course, what the hints are about future policy. This new Fed chairman acquitted himself extraordinarily well, I thought, in deflecting people who wanted him to deal with immigration and wage inequality and so forth, and stuck to the script. And the other positive thing was that he was very optimistic about the economy. And while he hinted that there might be four rate increases, well, you know, that's okay if it's because of a growing economy. He didn't seem to be worried about inflation at this point. They will come back and look at their numbers in March, 3 weeks when they meet. But so maybe there will be four rate increases. The other thing that kind of slid by the headlines was that he talked about looking again at the Volcker Rule, raising a little bit of restriction on the banks and their trading activities, and that was also a pretty bullish sign, I thought. So all in all, even though the market went down 300 points, I'm not sure that that was such a bearish appearance by the Fed chairman.
Right, right. It was interesting to watch because as he testified, stocks fell, dollar strengthened, and then bond yields rose. So it was kind of this, there was a lot going on all at once. But let's talk a little bit about that bank restriction that you mentioned, because as you said, it didn't get a lot of coverage because there's just so much going on right now. But and I think it's one of those topics that it's so nuanced that unless you are someone like you who's really immersed in that world, it's easy to kind of just hear it in sound bites and not digest the full concept.
Well, the basic concept is the Fed really clamped down on the banks, thinking they were the ones. Nominally, they made a lot of headlines in the mortgage crisis. There were other parties involved, and the banks have been restricted in how they can use their capital. And that's not good in a growing economy. So while you want to make sure they're not doing the riskiest things, there's a sense that some of the regulation went a little overboard. This is not a kind of a consumers versus the banks kind of an issue. We need the banks, number one, to be able to buy treasury bills and help finance the federal deficits that are going up. So a better look at bank regulation is coming, and that would be needed to support a growing economy. We don't want to let things get out of hand again, but it's nice to know that the Fed is aware of this problem. For consumers, you mentioned something. First of all, the dollar strengthened. Why? Well, the dollar's been pretty weak despite our high interest rates, but it inevitably, when our interest rates go up, money from around the world comes and buys U.S. government securities. So our interest rates go up. Now, you've got a Fed chairman sitting there saying to you, yeah, we're going to raise rates because there's strong growth. That's a message to consumers. Just because interest rates are on mortgages are 0.5% higher than they were 4 or 5 months ago doesn't mean they can't go even higher, and they probably will. So if you have a floating rate mortgage or a home equity loan, this is the moment to lock it in. Yeah, you didn't get the bottom, but you know you don't want to be exposed in a year or two if rates are much higher.
Indeed. And you mentioned messages to consumers. I think it is so interesting how anytime we see activity happening economically, it is almost predictable what consumer behavior will then be. What are the things that we're already starting to see or will soon see from consumers?
So we're at a really interesting tipping point, maybe at the top of the mountain. We just saw yesterday the consumer confidence numbers, the highest since 2000, the highest in 17 years. That was reflected in the shopping retail sales forecast. Macy's blowing out past all the estimates. People were shopping in December. Consumers are very confident, but we're getting home sales numbers today. We saw that across the nation yesterday, home sale prices, December over December, were up 6.3%. Not in Chicago, I might add. We were the lowest of all the major areas. Our home sales were up just a little over 2% year over year, or home prices, I should say. So home prices are going up, but today we get the report that across the nation pending home sales are down because there are not enough starter homes and because people worry about mortgage rates being too high and they may not be able to afford them and their student loan repayments. So we're at an interesting point here where rates are surely going up unless there's some major economic collapse, which does not appear to be on the horizon. And if you want to buy a home, this is a moment, especially in the Chicago area. Prices haven't gone up yet. If there's going to be inflation, home prices will go up.
Indeed. We're talking right now with Terry Savage, nationally known expert on personal finance, the markets, and economic policy. We are going to check on traffic here in a second and take a break and all that. And when we return, Terry, I want to finish this conversation about housing because I think there's a lot here. And I also want to talk about taxes because that time is nearly upon us with March 1st right around the corner.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch with Steve Bertrand on 720 WGN.
720 WGN. Well, I'm not Steve Bertrand. I'm Amy Guth, and I'm here with you this week in for Steve Bertrand when he's on vacation. Still lots to talk about. We've been talking with Terry Savage, nationally known expert on personal finance, the markets, and economic policy, as well as regular contributor here to this show. And Terry, right before the break, we were talking a little bit about housing numbers, which is such an interesting one, I think, because it's a bit of a powder keg with emotions and stuff, because we start talking about student loans and we start talking about consumer behavior, and there's a lot of big life stuff tied up into what we're seeing with housing numbers right now.
Well, your house will be your biggest purchase. People say, well, I have to afford it, and for sure we've priced people out and they aren't building enough new starter homes. But here's the message. If you're worried interest rates are going up because of inflation, then you want to buy your home now before home prices in this area go up, and you want to lock in your fixed rate mortgage now because if there's inflation, you know the Fed will raise rates. But there are two key things moving beyond just the decision to buy a home. There are two key things in this new tax bill that I want everybody to know about that may have slid by you that could impact other financial plans. The first does have to do with housing, and I mentioned it briefly on the show a couple of weeks ago, and I want to give you the details of it. These are all posted at terrysavage.com, where people ask questions, and I stay up late at night posting answers. The first has to do with home equity loans. Number one, I mentioned, if you've got a home equity loan, the rate is floating, so be sure now to go lock it in at today's current rates. But for new home equity loans taken out this year in 2018, the interest will not be deductible unless the money is used either towards buying, building, or improving your home, and then only up to a limit of $750,000, not the old $1 million worth of loans. I don't think too many people are going over that level. But if you thought you were going to take money out in form of a home equity loan to put your kids through college or to go on a vacation or to consolidate your credit cards, it is no longer deductible for those purposes. I don't know how they're going to come in and look at your checking account and see where you spent that $25,000 or $50,000 you took out of your home. But be prepared. Unless it's to improve your home, you will not be able to deduct home equity loan interest. It's really important.
That is super important because I think that habit has been with us for a long time. And so that's one to definitely underline, highlight, and put arrows
all
next
right
to for sure.
Now, one other one.
Yeah.
I just want to make this quick point. I know we don't have a lot of time, but you know, the new tax law said that you could use 529 plan money to pay for high school or private school or parochial school, you didn't have to wait to use it for college. That is the federal law. However, Illinois supersedes the federal law because the Bright Start plan in Illinois is run by the state. And the Illinois treasurer has issued a press release saying that if you take out money for parochial schools, secondary schools, private schools, you will pay a penalty and taxes on any gains in the account. And if you deducted your contribution, which you can up to $10,000 per person per year in Illinois, if you deduct per return, you can, they might even reconvert that and say, we're going to take away that past deduction because you took money out. So in Illinois, 529 plan money can only, Bright Start money can only be used for college expenses, not, although you may have read the federal law allows for high school and parochial school and so forth. Those are two key components of the new tax law that I'm not sure have been well enough publicized.
Yeah, that very well may be the case. And that's why we so appreciate you, that you're so on top of all these things for us.
I love talking money with you, Amy.
I'm so glad that you are on top of these things so that the rest of us can just nod and take notes indeed. So let's talk about your most recent column. We don't have a ton of time left, but I want to make sure we talk about it because it is almost March 1st and we need to start talking about our taxes.
Okay, well, this year's tax return is just like last year's tax return. I mean, the rules from last year are still the same. So not a big problem. But you can start thinking now as you do your taxes about how things are going to change for next year. You may not need to file a long-form tax return. You'll have the higher standard deduction so that it will be $24,000 on a joint return. So the fact is that you may not need to file a long-form, but one of the things that you do get to do this year, you've got more money in your paycheck now because the tax cuts, you can put more money away in your 401k. So while you're thinking ahead, go into the HR department and say, I lived last year on the money I made. Why don't we keep investing the money inside my 401k, increase my investment so at least I put away the maximum allowable amount.
Very important things to do. But I know taxes freak a lot of people out. People just, as soon as they realize it's time to start thinking about it, they get very, very nervous. What other things should people keep in mind so that maybe next year's tax process is a little less stressful?
Well, the big message this year is don't procrastinate. I've given that to myself because there's so much tax fraud going on. We have not yet seen, remember the Equifax breach? We have not yet seen any major impacts individuals have, but there hasn't been a big thing. But there are a lot of tax fraud where people who have enough information file a return and claim a refund before you've even filed your return. You'll eventually get that straightened out, but not without a lot of hassle. So do not wait till the very end. File your tax return now. I wrote a column. It's up at terrysavage.com. TurboTax, if you're willing to do this on your own, they actually have CPAs and enrolled agents that do a one-way video and look at your screen as you're...
Uh-oh, we lost Terry. Well, we were about to wrap it up anyway. I'm sure I wish I heard the last two words she said, though, because I feel like we had a lot of important stuff going on right there. But her message is very clear. And you can read that column at her website, terrysavage.com. And of course, you can connect with her on social media and get her newsletter and all that good stuff. We're always happy to have her with us. So we are going to take a break, get you to news, all that good stuff. And when we come back, we are talking about a really, really interesting program to mentor special young people here in Chicago. You're going to hear all about that and about women in the workplace when we come back here on 720 WGN.
Now, your noontime check-in with today's business world and more. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN. Here's Steve Bertrand.
720 WGN. Well, sorry, I'm not Steve Bertrand. I'm Amy Guth, and I'm in for him this week while he is on vacation. I'll be with you today, tomorrow, and Friday, but Steve is back next week with plenty of wonderful things to do and to talk about. But you know what? We've got plenty of wonderful things here in the second part of today's show. We, a little bit later, are going to be talking about women in the workplace. I know that's been a big topic lately on a lot of people's minds in a lot of different industries. So we're going to be talking about that. But before we do, we are joined now by phone by Sarah Spain, who is a columnist at ESPN and radio host. And she does so many things. You may have seen a campaign she was involved in called More Than Mean about women and online harassment that was really, really very powerful. And she does a lot of impactful things, including she works with an organization that she co-founded with a young woman that she mentors. And I would love to hear more about this, Sarah, because it sounds so wonderful. And anytime there's a project involving helping young people, it is always, always such a positive. Thanks for being with us to talk about it today.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. I love talking about it. It's our sixth year of doing it, so we're just hoping to get bigger and better every year.
So the organization is called Hear the Cheers, and tell us how it helps young people.
Yeah, so my coworker, Julie Foudy, who hopefully most of you know from being an Olympic champion soccer player, asked colleagues at ESPN to partner up with their daughters and try to make a change in their communities on a small scale, understanding that you don't have to have millions of dollars to make an impact. And since I don't have any kids, I reached out to Eliza, who had already been mentoring for a couple years, and she was born with hearing impairments, and she said, listen, I don't know if you know this, but a lot of hearing aids and equipment aren't covered by insurance, and I would like to work with you to help get other kids like me who want to play sports hearing aids so they can keep playing and participating. I thought it was a great idea. I definitely had no idea that a lot of hearing aids aren't covered, and so this is our sixth year of Hear the Cheers, and the goal is that 1 month every year we do a big fundraising effort with raffle prizes that every $15 you give, you have another chance to win the prizes, and we're adding those all times. We got all sorts of Cub stuff coming in and other teams that are still in the process of donating. And all the money goes to Chicago and Geneva area, which is where she's from, youth that want to participate. We started just sports, and now it's kind of branched out to dance and other activities that require them to be able to hear their teammates and coaches and fellow participants. And it's been so amazing, Amy, to actually meet some of the kids that are getting helped by this. It's something we all take for granted, and there's so many things you have to deal with as a kid already that not being able to fully participate is something that no one should have to deal with.
Indeed, and I don't think that's really common knowledge that a lot of hearing aids are not covered by insurance. I think that seems like a thing that would easily be covered, but
right.
As you say, not always the case.
Yeah, and they can be up to about $3,000 or $4,000 per ear, and you do grow out of them, and your hearing needs change. So that's a lot of money to ask for a lot of families, and you don't want to be in the position of needing to help your child to perform better at school and at home and not being financially able to. There is legislature that's being worked on to try to change this, but as of now, one of the best ways we can help families that aren't able to afford it and need a little bit of help is to donate while we're to work towards the larger goal of making these accessible via insurance to those who need them.
Certainly. And so this organization originally started, it seems like, focusing on helping kids pursue athletic interests. And it's since expanded, and it seems like there's a little bit of everything now.
Yeah. Well, it's hard for us to turn people away. We do have a waiting list for Hear the Cheers, and we work with the Chicago Hearing Society. So I had done community efforts before and philanthropical things and tried to kind of start fresh. And my very smart husband, when Eliza and her wonderful family, the Peters family out in Geneva, decided to start this, he said, you should really find someone that already has built-in infrastructure, already has, you know, all of their tax things lined up. That means that all the money that you raise, all the work that you do goes towards what you want and not towards creating something. And so the Chicago Hearing Society has been fantastic in partnering with us. And we have our own special here, the Cheers Charity and Fund. And you know, when we started to get a waiting list and we heard that it was a kid who was technically not a sport, it was, you know, dance or something similar, we said, you know, we don't have the heart to turn them down. So we try to do our best to be pretty wide-ranging in our acceptance of applicants who need our help. And so we're meeting all sorts of kids that are into all different stuff. And Eliza herself, when I first met her, was playing basketball and a couple other things, and now she's really focused on dance, and she's the captain of the Geneva basketball team that's headed to state again. Not the captain, the manager of the Geneva basketball team that's headed to state. So, you know, we just want to keep people involved in the activities they love, and we didn't want to limit it to just, you know, sports.
Right, right. And so how can people listening support the organization, get involved, do things, maybe not just this one time of year where you're fundraising, but perhaps help the organization year-round?
Right. Yeah, so we do take donations year-round whenever people feel inspired to give. If you go to tinyurl.com/HTC18. If that's too hard to remember, tinyurl.com/HTC18. If you just Google Sarah Spain, Hear the Cheers, or Hear the Cheers Chicago, you should be able to find the website. And that's where you can see all the different prizes. We've got signed Chicago Bears and Cubs and Red Stars tickets and Chicago Sky stuff and hair salons and restaurants and all sorts of places that are donating. If you go to the website and you give, every $15 you give is another entry into that raffle. We'll pick all the winners and send out the prizes in April. But we also always love working with sponsors and partners. We work with Beltone and Hear Strong and anybody else that, you know, is invested in this. I actually had Soledad O'Brien, the reporter, on my podcast, and her son has hearing impairments, and she said, I'm in. I want to help you guys. I want to spread the word. Olympic wrestler Adeline Gray approached me at an event I was speaking at and said, I know about your Hear the Cheers thing. I've had multiple surgeries for hearing, and I want to get on board. So anybody who is passionate about this cause, we would love to have you jump on board, whether it's your company as a sponsor or you just wanting to ask how you can help, because the more hands, the better.
Wonderful. And so the fundraising focus is February. We're almost out of February, but there's still time.
Oh, no, all of March. No, just March.
It's just March. Okay, excellent.
Yeah, so,
and
yeah,
so what is the goal that you're
February
trying
last to... last year, this year, it's all of March.
Got it. Okay, good.
Whew. Yeah. So you got plenty of time. We're starting tomorrow, actually, is when, I mean, you can give now, but tomorrow is the technical launch for the full month of March. We are hoping to get $25,000. We have raised over $130,000 in the last 5 years, which is pretty good for 1 month a year for two gals that are just trying to do what we can in our community. So hopefully we'll get to $25,000 again this year.
Wonderful. Well, I wish you all the luck in the world. And if you follow me on Twitter or any social media platform, I'll be sure and share these links so you can find them and support this organization.
Awesome.
Thank you so much for being
with
us today, Sarah.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You bet. Anytime. All right. We are going to take a break, all that good stuff, and then we're going to check the market numbers and traffic, all that good stuff, back in just a bit on 720 WGN.
This is the Wintrust Business Minute.
Got a minute? Good, because I've got the Wintrust Minute, sharing the news and asking questions for small business owners. The realities of owning a business can be hard, but how do you ask yourself the question of when is enough enough? Local entrepreneur Philip Tadros asked himself this question recently, since he filed for bankruptcy, citing over $2 million in debt. He's had his fair share of hardships with local coffee business Botrust, but maybe this will be the solution to all of his problems. We'll see. We'll also see you at the next Women's Business Development event in Forest Park. It's all about how to get the ball rolling and starting your own business. The event is tomorrow evening at the Forest Park Library at 7 p.m. And the best part? It's free. Register at WBDC.org. Tune in tomorrow for all of your up-to-date business news on WGN Radio.
Back to Steve Bertrand and the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN.
720 WGN. I'm not Steve Bertrand. I'm Amy Guth, but I'm in for him this week while he's on vacation with you until Friday. Then he's back with you next week. So this now is a regular segment called Wintrust Wednesdays, and it's a segment that it's focusing on the backbone of Chicago's business ecosystem, shining a light on small businesses across the Chicago area to help further their success, learning from the past, and answering your questions. So text us your business-related questions at 312-981-7200 at any time to potentially be included in a future segment. This question today that we're going to address is a compilation of several questions from several of you. So I think it's a topic that's on a lot of people's minds, and that is women in the workplace. It is not only a topic that's been in the news a lot lately, but it's one that's touched a lot of industries, and suddenly there's a shift. And so, and rightfully so, and gladly so, there's a lot of conversation going about that. So we're joined now by Veronica Ariola, who's the director of Latinas Gaining Access to Networks for Advancement in STEM, or Las Ganas. It's a program at the University of Illinois at Chicago. And she's here to talk with us today about how we can think about inclusion and diversity and equality in the workplace. Veronica, thanks for being with us today.
Hello, Amy. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for being with us and taking time out of your what I'm sure is a very busy day. So when we start on this topic, there's so many conversations at once when we're thinking about women in the workplace. What are the things right now that, you know, there's so many main narratives. What is kind of the thing I think that is maybe not being said that should be said?
Oh, my goodness. There's so much being said that it's hard to figure out what's not being said. So maybe it needs to be more about amplifying some of these messages, particularly around how people are talking about mentoring within the workplace or just dealing with each other because of this heightened awareness around sexual harassment. There is, you know, every now and then there's some chatter about, like, what do I do? How do I take my female coworkers out to work, to lunch or happy hours and all of this? And just, I say that just treat them as a coworker. I know that a lot of people meet their romantic partners at work, but, you know, maybe we need to tone that down.
Or maybe
keep
no.
Maybe not treat the office as a pickup area.
Right.
And just treat people as coworkers. And, you know, just some common courtesy.
Yeah.
You know, if you wouldn't say, if something that's coming out of your mouth, you wouldn't say to somebody of your same gender, if you're an opposite gender loving person, then don't say that.
Well, and I think one thing that's come up that I think some people are maybe erring on the side of, I don't know if I'm going to make a misstep, so I'm just not mm-hmm. going to do anything. I'm going to err on the side of not speaking to coworkers. Mm-hmm. And there've been a lot of things ranging from thoughtful think pieces to straight up hot takes about that topic of what that means. But one thing I think that's important to highlight when we think about that topic is sometimes especially if it's, say, a male boss who's trying to limit his interactions with female colleagues, particularly if the women are his subordinates, that might be also cutting off a lot of opportunity for her to be known in the workplace and advance and develop in her own career.
Most definitely. I mean, in the 1970s, we worked really hard to try and end male-only bars in Chicago because that's where people would go after work or even during lunch to talk about business and make deals. So that was one way of keeping women from advancing. So we can't go back to those days by keeping women out of conversations. Maybe we just need to have those conversations more in the open in a space where it doesn't allude to romance.
Right.
Or just, you know, for the most part, men are the ones who are thinking this, but just thinking, just because you and your female coworker are out for a drink to talk about the next big deal, it's not a date. It's work.
Indeed. That's always very sound advice. And then what about people who do have absolutely good intentions and really want to try to foster an environment in their workplace that calls out this kind of behavior in a way that doesn't create, you know, hurt feelings or maybe alienate people who have good intentions, but just don't mm-hmm. really maybe make a misstep here and there? How would you summarize that in the time that we have left?
I think it's just about just being really direct, but very caring at the same time. I'm a hugger, so I'm having to pull myself back as well these days, and asking for permission before I hug somebody, especially in a professional setting. So just talk to somebody, pull them aside, just be like, hey, maybe you don't need to do that.
Yeah, maybe that thing you said wasn't cool.
Maybe, right, exactly.
Hey, or hey, that kind of made me uncomfortable, and here's why. I think you're exactly right. Sometimes just being really, really direct can solve a lot of problems. Well, Veronica Arriola, Director of Latinas Gaining Access to Networks for Advancement in STEM, or Las Ganas program at the University of Illinois at Chicago, thank you so much for being with us today.
Not a problem. Thanks.